I'm pleased to be joined now by Victoria Oruwari. Victoria recently appeared on BBC's music programme All Together Now, where she made the final. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Barry.
So, Victoria, how does it feel to appear on national television and showcase your talents?
It feels wonderful to be on national television. It was a little bit scary at the time, but really wonderful now.
And how did this come about, Victoria?
They were auditioning musicians for this new show on BBC One. I just thought, well, why not go along and audition, see whatever comes of it, you know, as we all do. If you don't ask, you don't get. So I went and auditioned.
And when was the audition?
I think it was sometime September, October last year or something.
So it's quite a long process.
Yes, you had to go through so many stages and, you know, they whittled it down. And when I was told that I was going to be on the show, it was a massive shock, actually, because I was like, oh, my goodness, me? Wow. Okay.
For anyone that hasn't watched the show yet, Victoria, can you explain the format, please?
Oh, yes. All Together Now is a music show with a twist. So in the sense that they have 100 people who are musicians, just like myself, sitting on a panel. But it's like a wall of judges. So there are 100 of them sitting in an arrangement that's like a massive wall. And they have buzzers and lights in front of them. And when you sing, if they believe that you've moved them enough, they will stand up and they will sing with you. And the more people sing for you, the better marks you get. So in my case, I had 95 people get up, and that was the highest for that heat. So I got through to the final. So they have 5 heats, and for each heat, 2 people are taken into the final, which will be airing this Saturday.
Now, obviously, you don't have the visual cues. Were you aware people were standing?
It got louder and louder, but if I'm to be really honest with you, I decided just to focus on singing in tune because it was a bit, you know, if I thought about what I could not see, then it would have been a problem.
Yeah.
Because when you first of all come out, it's actually very silent. Nobody says anything. First thing that actually crossed my mind was, oh, my God, am I naked? You know, because it's like something shocking has happened and everyone has just gone quiet. So normally when I come out to sing, people are always clapping and you know that people are there. But this time it was just really, really quiet. And I was like, oh, my goodness, have I got clothes on? I had to pinch myself. I said, OK, yes, you're not naked. OK, no one is staring in horror at something that you've just done.
Were you nervous at this point? Could you feel your heart beating?
I did. And I was worried that it could actually be heard through the microphone.
Really?
Yes.
How then did you settle the nerves, Victoria? Was it a case of when the music starts, you start to relax?
As a musician, one thing I have learned is that if you know a song very well, it becomes your best friend in a situation where you are feeling a little bit alien, you know. So a stage that is new to you, well, it wasn't that new, obviously, because they made sure we all had rehearsals and felt comfortable. But at that point, you are nervous until that track starts and you're like, oh, yes, I know this one. It's like a face that you know, a person that you know.
Now, the song you performed was Climb Every Mountain from The Sound of Music. Why did you pick that one? What does that mean to you?
That song, for me, is a song of freedom, is a song of hope, is a song of, I don't know, like, this. In spite of everything that I have been through in life, I can do something with my life and I can move on. And when I was little, I remember watching Sound of Music when I still was able to see, and watching the Von Trapp family climbing that mountain and getting away from the people that were going to hurt them, it gave me such a feeling of exhilaration. And I used to remember myself clapping and waving at them, saying, go on, don't stop, don't let them come and get you. And there's something about that song. It was playing in the background with the whole choir joining them. And I mean, I was only 5 and a half, but I was sensible enough to know that they were going to somewhere better and they were going to be happy. And it's sort of that happily ever after thing, isn't it?
Definitely. And the fact that that song's been so close to you for most of your life as well, it must have been great getting a chance to sing it. You also put your own spin on it as well, I believe.
I did it in a different key to the key that it was recorded in, yes.
Yeah, you can take credit for that.
I don't know. I think I give the composers credit because it was such a beautifully written song. Rodgers and Hammerstein did an amazing job of writing that piece. Yes.
Definitely. Now, I have to mention, my fiancé and I, we stumbled across your performance just by chance, Victoria.
Okay.
So glad I did, which obviously set the wheels in motion to get you on here today.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely incredible. And the crescendos in the middle when it gets higher and higher.
Yeah.
The next minute, oh, everybody was in tears.
Oh.
But tears of joy.
Oh,
and you also had somebody very famous in tears as well that's been singing your praises. Jerry Horner, formerly known as Jerry Halliwell
amazing.
From the Spice Girls.
Yes, Jerry Horner was so amazing on that show. I was so touched when she said those things she said to me. I was I was like, oh my goodness, that's really, really kind, you know. And Spice Girls, they've had huge fame, you know. When I was a teenager, we used to listen to them and dance along to their songs, you know. Yeah, it was nice to kind of see some, one of them in front of me and saying something so nice to me.
How was the experience for you as a blind person, Victoria?
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, I didn't actually, it was one of the first institutions I've worked with that had nothing to do with disabled people where I didn't actually feel like my disability made me different, because all of us had needs and all those needs were met, you know, and it was met with dialogue and openness. And when they tried something new with me, especially with choreography and stuff like that, they asked me, are you comfortable with that? If you're not, we can try this and we can try that. And, you know, they talked about my walk on and off the stage. It was very, very beautifully done. They, you know, everything was just done with such understanding that it totally, totally kept me at ease.
Yeah, which then allows you to concentrate on your singing. You don't have to worry about anything else.
Exactly.
So overall, a great experience.
Overall, it was a great experience, yes.
What feedback have you had from the blind and partially sighted community since your performance?
I've had so much positive feedback. It's been very humbling, the wonderful feedback I've had from blind and partially sighted people. And it's, I don't know, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude, actually.
Am I right in saying you can't say too much about the next stage of the show because it's currently embargoed?
Yes, properly so. Properly so.
I guess we're going to have to tune in to find out what happens to you, Victoria.
The thing is, so many amazing people made it to the finals, and I don't know. I just have my money on quite a few people who I think might actually win. You know, Jodie, for instance. I don't know if you ever heard her performance of I Want to Dance with Somebody, and she's gotten through to the final, and she's amazing. And then you have Rachel, the two Rachels, actually, Rachel Stevens and Rachel Horns. I mean, they were amazing. And then you hear James. Oh my God, you hear James and you just want to give him your last penny because he's just amazing. So I don't know. I think there are so many contenders that are going to win that competition.
Will you be singing a different song?
Oh yes, all of us will be singing a different song.
And I take it it's a secret?
Yes, it is.
Okay, watch this space.
Yes, watch this space. So tune in. Don't forget to tune in, everyone, at 7:15 on Saturday evening, because that's when the whole thing will be happening.
Now, Victoria, can I take you back to when you first lost your sight? I believe you were born partially sighted, is that correct?
I was partially sighted as a child, and I think when I was about 4.5 or 5, my sight was getting a little bit blurry, and they said I had some cataracts that they had to remove. And unfortunately, the doctor that was trusted with that process did a bit of a bad job of it and detached my retina in the process. I don't think enough advice was given to my parents on how to manage that condition. And I was flown to England to have a look at it. And they said, well, it's better to kind of leave things as they are because the damage is done, but it could get better or worse. But then some doctors from America sort of said to my family, bring her here, we can sort it. We've got the best technology, we've got this, we've got that. So any parent hearing that would want to do anything, you know. So they cobbled money together to take me to America. And one operation led to another and another, and I found myself not able to see at all.
So how did you first get into music then?
I was little and I used to watch a lot of Disney, and I heard Princess Aurora from Sleeping Beauty sing Once Upon a Dream, and I always wanted to sing like her. So I was always singing as a child. I didn't get formal training, but I had piano lessons, but I was always being asked to sing for the school, and we went to so many, you know, prestigious venues to sing when I was a child. And then I think when I was 11, my mum decided she wanted me to stop because she felt like I was being exploited. I didn't really know what the word meant at the time, but she felt I should focus on my studies, so I did. And then when I came to England at age 18, I noticed there was a lot of music at New College, and I thought I wanted to be a part of this as well because I could still get to sing, you know. So I started to do music A-level, and obviously towards the exams you had to do grades and everything. And that's when I started to have classical lessons. And that's where it all continued and went on from.
And I believe you also do workshops and you teach as well.
Yeah, I teach. These days I tend to direct choirs more than I teach on a one-to-one basis, but I lead workshops as well.
What is it like to conduct a choir, Victoria, without any sight? I believe you had some training in that as well.
You tend to use your ears a lot when you're leading a choir because you're listening to people and knowing who's struggling with a part and who's not struggling. And it can be very intense because you're really in the middle of it and listening. And trying to. And then I kind of devise ways of talking to the choir with my face and my eyes, even though I can't see them. As they get to know me, they get to know what I mean when I make a face at them and say, don't do that. No, stop there. And then I've developed new ways of saying stop and start and go up and come down. So I'll kind of open my palm and face it to the ceiling if I want them to go higher, and I'll gradually raise my hands up. And if I want them to go lower, I'll turn my palm facing down and get them to go lower. I wouldn't call it real, like, conducting, but it's a weird sign language that I have sort of...
It's still communication.
Yes, it's non-verbal communication, as you can get it. And then sometimes I'll shake my head at a direction, and I'll smile at a direction if I want them to do something. You know, so you sort of learn to do that sort of thing as you go along, really.
What do you find more rewarding than the teaching or the singing?
I think the singing. I like making music because I feel like I'm involved and I'm creating something new. Direction of choirs is also rewarding as well, but it's in a different sort of way.
What about teaching blind and partially sighted people? Have you had much opportunity to do that yet?
Yes, there was a time I was teaching at Edward Wilson Primary, and I had one or two blind students who were going there at the time have lessons with me. They were very little children, such adorable little creatures. It was nice to sort of work with them and, you know, get their voices moving. I think what I did notice a lot was that there wasn't a lot of movement, because I think when blind children sometimes are in a mainstream environment, they're not really encouraged to run around because it's not considered safe for them. I think that these children in turn were not allowed to play at break time with the other kids because they felt it wasn't going to be safe for them. And that way, I mean, it was for their safety, but at the same time, it sort of prevented them from having a bit of rough and tumble, as children always do, you know? So I struggled with sort of getting the children to move and sing and do the actions and stuff like that. I said, no, you can do the actions even if you can't see, because you can learn them and know what the words stand for and move your hands when you need to and, you know, smile when you need to and express yourself.
What's next for you, Victoria? You're currently at college.
Yes, well, that's my little, I wouldn't call it little. It's a new thing that's happening to me. I'm studying psychotherapy part-time because it's something I've always been interested in.
Okay.
Having lived with a disability and understanding the impact of disability on the mind sometimes, mm-hmm. or maybe the social impact of disability, you know, on a disabled person's mind, I've felt the need to study something that might enable me to contribute in other ways to my community.
And what are your plans for the future?
I want to work a lot more with my pianist, Kevin Satisabal, who is also visually impaired. I got introduced to him in 2015, and he is really good. He's a very, very good pianist, and he's also a composer. And we're hoping to do a concert sometime before the end of this year, if we can get our diaries to fit, because he's also a very busy musician and busy with other things as well. So if we get together, we will actually work on a few pieces that we're going to record, and then we're going to do a concert. And then I will aim at somehow combining my psychotherapy with my music.
And just finally, Victoria, if anyone is listening that's going through sight loss at the moment or difficult times, what advice would you give to them?
Don't give up and don't stop talking, because one day somebody will listen.
Victoria, good luck in the next performance on All Together Now. Everybody at RNIB Connect Radio and the blind and partially sighted community is right behind you. In the meantime, thank you very much for talking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.